is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, held on the, or through the use of the Bergen County FM Association repeater in Paramus, New Jersey. The repeater PL is 141.3. You're more than welcome to join us. You need not be a member to sign into the net. The purpose of this net is to exchange wonderful and interesting ideas, or not so wonderful or interesting ideas, that are related to amateur radio and the technological wonders that befuddle or challenge or intrigue us. Hopefully you'll have a question or comment or confusion to share with your brother and sister hams. In any case, we do have a technical topic for this evening. It will be the subject of field day antennas and field day antenna anecdotes. And, of course, before we get on to that subject, however, we're going to explore any other questions that you may have. So we look forward to hearing from you and anybody else. If you have a question or not, please sign in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or none of the above, as it were. So, at this time, if you have a K call, please call K2BAR. Over, over.
This is K2AMI. No questions, but listening.
Good evening, Tony, K2AMI, K2BAR. I went through the whole net last week without slipping. The first time I acknowledged somebody's call, I screwed up. Oh, well. In any case, good evening to you, Tony. Anybody else would like to check in to the net, please call K2BAR.
K2ZO.
Jim, K2ZO acknowledged. Anybody else?
Whiskey, India, 2 Whiskey.
WITW. Steve, good evening to you. Anybody else?
Yeah, NS2K, Jim.
Okay, Jim, got you, NS2K. Anybody else? Okay, one more time. This is K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Those stations wishing to check in, members or not, please feel free to do so. At this time, the PL for the repeater is 141.3, which is known by the Motorola code of 4 alpha. So, please call K2BAR at this time with your call and name and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Okay. Well, we have our initial group. Good evening to you, Tony, Jim, Steve, and Jim. Does anybody have any comments they'd like to make at this time before we start up? Maybe, Tony, you'd like to lead off, if you would, with kind of a summary of your email, which some people may or may not have read at this time. Please go ahead, K2MI, K2BAR.
I think that probably you have referenced the fact that I did send out an email to the entire club indicating that a field day is coming up. I was disappointed in the email. It did not mention the exact dates and locations, but the exact date will be Saturday, June 23rd, and Sunday, June 24th. And location will be at the Community Services Building, which is at the corner of Ridgewood Avenue and Pascack Road. And also, Pascack Road at that point has a choice between Farview Avenue and Pascack Road. In any event, it's right across the street from the Bergen County Hospital. Can't think of the new name over there, but the county hospital in Paramus. And we'll be gathering probably at the Barra Garage about 8:30. We kind of pushed up a half an hour, didn't we, Jim? Hopefully we'll get some guys there and working by 9 o'clock. But 8:30 to get the trucks loaded and the equipment stored and hauled over to the site. A matter of probably about 3 miles at the most. And away we'll go. Jim may have more details about the field day event coming up. But also aside, that this Friday is the last VE session for the current semester, you might say, of school. We have one more VE session this Friday, 7 o'clock at the Westwood High School. And then they resume again in late September. So if anybody's interested in taking the exam, even before the exam pool closes, I understand some exam pools will be changing over the summer. This Friday is the day to take them at the Westwood High School. And outside of that, I can comment that we had a very nice VHF contest this weekend. I'm back to net control.
Okay, Tony, very fine. Well, okay, so let me just clarify one point. You'll be meeting at the Bauer Garage, which is in Dumont, the storage garage, and will talk-in be available on 7-9?
That's correct. We'll be listening, and I'm sure there'll be other guys trying to find a location, so just announce yourself and ask for directions, and we'll try to help you. If you want to get there and you want specific directions, I can email you specific directions. I don't like to announce the exact address and location of the garage for various reasons, but do you know where the garage is, Gordon? Can you locate it?
No, I can't, but as you know, I'll be camping with our Boy Scout troop up for Field Day weekend, so I will not be attending with Barra or any other club, actually.
Okay, very good. Well, anybody who does need directions can email me, and I will email them back rather than announce it on the repeater. Back to K2BAR and net control.
Okay, so just to rehash, that's K2 Alpha Mike India at AWRL.net. K2 Alpha Mike India at AWRL.net. We'll do it. Also, if you're intending on going and you know how to find your way to the community services building, you can email either Tony or Steve, W2MikeLima at AWRL.org. Please note the difference in domain space. Steve has an old AWRL.org email address. Tony is AWRL.net, like most of us members. Okay. Find your way to the Bergen County Community Services Building on Ridgewood Avenue, which is the one parallel to and south of Oradell Avenue, by the way, for those who care. It's across the street from Bergen Regional Medical Center, otherwise known as The Pines, for those of us who have been living here too long, where Pascack Road becomes Farview Avenue. Anyway, and I noted the VE session also on Friday at Westwood High School in Washington Township at 7 p.m. Alrighty, so let me just take another quick round of check-ins at this time to see if we have any other folks who wish to join us, and then we can get on to the topic at hand, which is interesting field day antennas and or antenna setup or takedown experiences and the results of those efforts. That always might be exciting too, or the implications of those efforts. So here we can have a few technical challenges and also a few chuckles for our trouble. So, any other stations wishing to check in at this time? This is K2BAR. Okay.
KF2ID.
Well, Jim, K2ZL, I have to defer to you first. I gotta believe you've had a few interesting stories, and if you don't have one, I was going to ask you about that big square loop to describe that you've been using on and off over the years. And what did you do with that last year? I don't recall ever hearing about its creation. I know you used to do it when you were at the college. So what's the scoop on the horizontal loop, dimensionally, et cetera? And how do you make it happen? K2ZO. K2BAR.
Okay, Gordon. I think Ben just signed in there. Go ahead, Ben.
KF2ID, Ben. I just joined. Gordon.
Excellent, Ben. Good evening to you. Anybody else? One more time. Anybody else want to join us? K2BAR.
Okay. This is K2ZO. I have lots of interesting field day antenna stories.
Well, give us one, and then let somebody else take a turn. Pick the one that's juicy. I tossed one at you, but you don't have to use that one if you don't want.
somebody. Well, anyway, I'll talk about the 600-foot long inverted 600 long V antenna and the lightning and of course the loop. But as some of the old timers will remember, we were at Franklin Lakes one year right after that site was turned over and the towers were still up there, the big horizontal towers that are where the big bubbles were. That housed the radar, and we used them as antenna supports. And we worked out like a bandit. We had all kinds of fun. The building was a butler hut right adjacent to that facility there, that big tower. And the butler hut was a big sheet metal building, had holes in the side where people had fired shotguns through it. So it was a convenient place to put our radios, and it was a big long building, so we had a big long shelf with six tables all in a row, and we just ran the coax out through the holes in the side of the building up the side of the tower. Well, in the middle of the night, somebody went and pulled out with a pickup truck that had a rack on the back, and he snagged the coax, and as we watched in horror as each one of the radios in succession leaped from the table and jumped up to the wall.
Oh my! Oh my! So a butler hut is sort of like a Quonset hut?
Yeah, with just straight sides rather than the curved sides. Yeah. So this guy pulling out, snagged the coaxes, and I didn't realize it as he's pulling out every one of the rig, the 2 meter, the 6 meter, the 10 meter, the 20 meter. Every rig was pulled up to the hole in the wall where its coax went out.
And was the bumper of the truck laying on the ground?
We quickly ran out and finally stopped this guy, and he had snagged the coaxes in the top rack on the back of the pickup truck, you know, and fortunately it didn't do too much damage. We pulled the first two or three radios, I think we pulled the PL-259 out the back, but it sure was exciting.
So there was actually, you pulled the PL-259 or the SS-239 off the back of the radio or out of the back of the coax?
Well, a couple of cases the coax came apart, and a couple of cases the radio came apart.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. I can only imagine the scene. Now, I'm not familiar with that site, but that was a Nike radar site?
Yes, it was. It was a Nike radar site, very similar to the site that we were at for the VHF contest. But at that time, the towers or support structures, the circular cement things with the stairway spiraling up, were still there. So you could go walk up the stairway and have a large circular area where the radome was, and we could just tie antennas all off from there. It was great.
Well, but the radome was gone.
Yeah, the radome was gone, and the buildings, of course, that were still there had all been vandalized.
Okay, if someone wants to look at that, there's a Nike, if you look up Nike site, I think, Nike site, I think that's all you need, you'll find that someone has collected a nice web history of various sites, including Franklin Lakes and Orangetown.
Well, one of those structures is still standing up at the site where we had the VHF contest. It's just up the other fork in the road.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, story... Well, hold on. Before you go back, Steve, do you have a story?
No, I don't have a long, illustrious field day career. It hasn't been an operating event that I've participated in too many. A few of them, for sure. One memorable one with Butch. In any event, I guess the only story worth retelling is last year Andrew and I set up our satellite gear with full automation computers and rotators, and I had this little tent-like canopy over top of us. And when the rains came, we got so wet and so soaked and so spooked that we were going to get electrocuted from the power on the ground that we made our two contacts, unplugged, and packed it up, and it was very, very soggy, so let's hope we don't get rain this year.
Yeah, I would agree. NS2K, would you like to add one? I gotta believe this is a great story from down east, eh?
Nope, this is from Houston, Texas.
Texas, or just south of Houston, Texas, at Johnson Space Center. This is NS2K. It's not exactly an antenna story, but it is a coax story, not entirely unlike Jim's. A good many years ago, early 80s, when we were intensely covering the space shuttles, one of the shots, I was down at Houston, and Jules Bergman was the correspondent. Unfortunately, he was quite sick at the time and was having periodic incidents. Anyway, gave us quite a start on one of the early setup days. Hang on. Where he had a bit of a seizure. And so one of the editors who lived right in the area says, not a problem. Why wait for the ambulance? The hospital was like maybe half a mile away. We all knew where it was. And let me just take him in the station wagon over to the hospital, and we can get him there much quicker than the ambulance. So he jumped in his station wagon that was parked right next to the trailer. We had this big double-wide thing where we had editors on one end and offices on the other end. So there were wires and things running back and forth on the outside of the trailer. Anyway, he jumped in the station wagon and stomped on the gas to swing around where Jules was. Unfortunately, what no one had paid attention to was that people were just in the process of running coax. Hang on. From the front to the back. And one of the loops of coax was hooked around his bumper. Now, this is big, nasty stuff. If anybody knows, it was a Belden 8281. Now, this is like 5/8 of an inch in diameter, but there's a lot of copper in it. It's double shielded. It's very strong stuff, put it that way. Anyway, what happened was one of this particular wire on one end wasn't hooked to anything, thank God. But on the other end, it was hooked to a Quantel frame synchronizer. Now, this is like a 5-rack unit high, so it's like, 8-9 inch high box that weighed maybe 60 pounds, had an enormously heavy transformer in it. Anyway, it flew across the room from the top of the stack, right past the editor's head. Would have killed him if it had hit him. And smashed against the wall next to the window, at which point it finally ripped the coax connector off the back of the machine. Anyway, it's very, very impressive. This, like, 60-pound box flying across the room. That's not a sight to forget. And it's okay.
Yeah, okay. That sounds lovely. Absolutely lovely. Alrighty, Mr. Ben, would you like to share one with us?
Excuse me for a moment, something came down here.
No problem. How about you, Tony?
I just remember one of my major efforts that, you know, I'm always interested in building something big and strong and making it work. Well, I assembled a 2-meter corner reflector. Those days, we had quite an interest in 2-meter AM as well as FM simplex. So we thought we wanted a better antenna, would be more directional, because we're getting swamped with the 7-9 repeater coming into the background of our receivers. So, and other repeaters. So we built a corner reflector. Now each side of the corner reflector, when you scale it out, comes out about the size of a single bed mattress. I don't remember the dimensions exactly, but they were at least 6 foot long and at least 3 to 4 foot high. Well, I constructed this frame out of aluminum, and then attached vertical wires every few inches, maybe 4 or 5 inches, along the frame, so they acted as a solid shield for 2 meters. And in the center, I put a vertical dipole that would direct the signal. It had the corner reflector, of course, had an excellent pattern of directivity, but it was big. So we decided we would place this on top of a ladder. Well, for a second, the name skipped my mind whose ladder it was, but the ladder was a magnesium ladder, a really nice magnesium ladder. And we were over at the Bergen Community College, And in order to assemble it, there was grandstands there, so we had the top of the ladder on the top of the grandstand and the bottom part of the ladder further down, and at which point we could reach and attach this big, humongous corner reflector. And we did. We attached it to a pole, of course, a vertical pole. And let me drop it for a second.
W2AKR repeater.
So I had it all rigged up. The canopy was very secure and very solid. We had drilled holes in the side of the ladder vertical sections to put U-bolts to secure the vertical pole. So now we had to pull it up. Well, we had an advantage of having it perhaps 10 feet off the ground at the top of the grandstands, but that wasn't quite enough advantage to getting it up. In order to reach the grandstand where we had it laid over, we had extended the ladder. It was not completely collapsed. It was extended probably 5 or 6 feet, maybe more. 40-foot ladder, so a good portion of it was extended. And that way, it stretched from the top of the grandstand down to the area that we could work footed. Well, we put the ropes on, and we started the pull. Well, this required coordination and direction from a director. You know, pull to the right, pull to the left, pull, let go, you know. Well, apparently there were some people who thought that all you had to do was pull and not listen. And the end result was we totally bent the beautiful magnesium ladder, not the aluminum, magnesium ladder, bent it into a pretzel practically, and never did get the antenna up. I ended up buying a new ladder for the party involved, and that was, who was it? That was Mawa Ramsey area there. Boy, I should know his name, but it goes right out of my mind. But we had to buy him a new ladder, so we destroyed the ladder trying to raise this enormous corner reflector. That was my story.
That was Glenn, K2IZL, and I remember that ladder cost $500.
Glenn, K2IZL.
Right.
Well, actually, I remember. That's amazing. A 2-meter corner reflector. You know, as you were describing your construction method, I'm sitting here thinking about what I could put on my tower. Because, you know, that wouldn't have a heavy wind load. It really wouldn't. But anyway. Oh, my. Oh, me, oh, my. Am I going to get in trouble? Especially if it is vertically polarized, oh my. Okay, well, so that's a very good story as well. Ben, I'll give you another chance. Any interesting antenna stories?
No, I'm sorry, I don't have any big antenna stories for you. I do have a question, a sort of technical question involving antennas, but let these stories go through first, and if there's time, I'll raise the question.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a moment, no problem. I have a few, but the one that was most sobering, I guess, and I've had this experience in various times, we're putting up one of the first digipeters, and alas, this is not a field day story, but we're putting it up on the Channel 50 tower in Montclair. And I climb the tower, I'm 300 feet in the air, I'm on the platform, I'm tightening up stuff for the first antenna, we pull coax up, and I look out toward Bootin, and I don't like what I see, big old honking black cloud coming right at me, it's getting bigger and bigger. So I have 300 feet to descend in a big hurry. And after having also, for those of you who remember Buzz Reeves, Hazard Reeves, K2GL, I'd been on one of his towers about 100 feet or so on a Rhone 45, 150, 160 feet actually, and one time, and come down in a lightning storm. So, needless to say, lightning can be a real downer for antennas, and so Steve, I can kind of relate to your issue with water and electricity and the like all coming together. It's never a good thing. want to keep those things as far apart as possible. So, Ben, what's your question?
Okay, I have one of these hand-pull rotators, and it has the ability to be clamped to a pole. And I've been told by some people that you really shouldn't clamp to a pole. You put them on a base and have a thrust bearing above them if you want to rotate some kind of beam. Say they've been successful with it and no problem at all. So I wonder if the people who have been successful from it give me an idea how long a pole they've had from the rotator to whatever antenna they're rotating, and what kind of an antenna roughly are they have they been rotating, so I can get a feel for get away with it.
Anybody want to handle this question? Jim, why don't you?
One of the things you got to watch out for, of course, is the side thrust on there. You're talking about taking and putting the rotator above the tower rather than putting it in the tower, Ben?
No, I'm taking the rotator using a beam, not a beam, a pole, the exact word for it, but a pole, so to speak, and the antenna has the ability to clamp on the pole. Rotator does. Don't have to put it on a base, so to speak. Clamp it on a pole, and then have the center pole, for want of a better word, above it, and center on top of it. In other words, there'd be no thrust bearing. So I wonder if anybody has any experience with that.
We've used stuff like that on a temporary basis, but I'm sure that would work okay if you didn't put a big antenna on it. You'll have to pin the rotator because things like that tend to move quite a bit. Maybe pin the pole. Well, how are you going to fix the pole? Are you going to fix it to the side of the house?
Basically, it's a I got one of these split level houses. So you know, there were two roof levels, and there is one. I was thinking of putting the pole. Side of the house. I have some brackets for that, and then having the up in the air for a while, and then having the rotator on top of that.
As long as it's not going to as strong enough, I don't see any reason why not to try it. What kind of antenna are you going to put on it?
Probably a 10-meter, I was thinking of possibly getting one of those stepper antennas.
Well, if you got a stepper, remember, stepper's a little bit heavy, but if you got a stepper, the support pipe would, you know, you'd probably have to get a rather substantial piece of pipe. I mean, you know, a 1.5-inch piece of pipe is probably not going to be enough. You're going to need like a 2.5-inch piece of aluminum or something, heavy walled aluminum, but you can put it up that way.
Well, my question, would the bearing of the rotator take it? Do the side thrust through the winds on the antenna?
Yeah, there's a, you know, some weight to the antenna, but there's not a lot of side thrust on the thing because it's not a real long antenna. And depending on what kind of rotator you're going to use, I use a Ham-M rotator with the stepper, no problem at all. I have a delay on it with a delay relay, but so it doesn't drop the break in, but that works fine.
Yeah, but do you have a thrust bearing above the rotator?
No, I don't have a thrust bearing at all. What I have is the rotator. It goes right up through the center part of the triangular tower, and I just have a Teflon sleeve in there, but I don't have anything holding the weight. The full weight of the antenna is on the rotator.
No, I don't mean, I know that, but I'm saying is there is a wind against the against that antenna. Does that sleeve protect the, remove the bending forces from the rotator bearing?
Well, it's worked that way since 1978, so I haven't had any problems with it. It's worked with a number of different antennas, some slightly bigger than the one that's on there. But that's all I do. And but it is a rather substantial piece of aluminum pipe that's doing it, its job.
Okay, well, thank you for the information. I just want to get as much information as possible. This is KF2ID.
This is K2AMI with a question for K2ZO.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Okay, if we do use a tower, as we plan to on field day, to put a tri-bander up, I've been harping on the fact that we need some sort of collar, like a shirt collar or a sleeve collar, a collar that will prevent the mast from slipping down into the tower. An old thrust bearing would be great, or any kind of collar that could be attached to the vertical shaft. I put out a call to Dick to look for one. He said he would try, but have you got anything around the house that would suffice, that could be put around the vertical mast pipe and prevent that pipe from slipping down into the tower?
I'll take a look. I don't know if I have a collar of any kind here. I don't think so. What you need is a collar with a set screw. But we could mount the rotator inside that tower very easily. Leave the bottom section on the rotator, the bottom piece which mounts on the pipe. Cut a short piece of pipe and then get a flat piece of aluminum with two holes in a U-bolt and two holes in a U-bolt going to the pipe and then going to one of the sides of the tower. That'll work fine.
Okay, but on field day, because we're going to attempt to use three sections of tower and the mostly tri-bander, which weighs quite a bit of weight, it was discussed that we would not use the rotator. We don't need a rotator on field day. We'd be using an Armstrong rotator, a piece of rope tied to the tower. It would reduce the weight at the top of the tower or any place on the tower where the rotator would sit. And I'd like not to put the rotator inside the tower. Just slip the mast down to the top of the tapered end of the tower.
Okay. As a last resort, we need to remove the bottom bell from the rotator, or if somebody's got an extra one, invert it, and clamp it to the pipe that puts the flat portion of the bell at the top of the tower, and with the clamps to hold it.
Well, some of the bottom sections of the towers are normally bolted to the bottom of a rotator, and it's an entire round flange tape, plate that goes completely around the rotor base. It is not just something that has an opening in it, the diameter of the mast piece that we're going to use. I have an extra bottom section of the tower. I'm looking at it here, and I don't know how you would attach that unless you ended up putting wood someplace along the way and use this thing as a device to sit on, but then it would have to swivel as the antenna is turned.
Okay. Maybe you might need an additional piece underneath it. I don't know. But certainly if you bolt that to the vertical pipe, it'll keep it from sliding down.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
What is the diameter of the mast that you're trying to support? If it's exactly 2 inches, I have a split ring clamp.
I think I'll pick it up. We don't know the exact dimensions. It depends upon which piece of aluminum fits in the tapered section of the top of the tower that we're going to be using. And it would be the same, could be the same tower we used on the VHF contest. And we have some mast sections in the garage that approach 2 inches, but I don't believe they're 2 inches. I think they might be like 1 7/8 or something of that order, maybe 1 3/4. So I really think that we should plan on a solution to this before Saturday of the field day contest.
Sounds like I may need to go over with my calipers and find out if we have an appropriate piece of 2-inch OD stuff.
Roger on that, and perhaps if you do find what something that will work, would you please mark it in some way so we make sure we take it?
Yeah, I think the two aluminum pieces that we had are probably 2-inch, but I'd have to check it to be sure. NSTK.
Okay, well, what I just wanted to do was alert everybody to the problem that I foresee, because last year we did do this, and we ended up balancing the bottom of the vertical mast on a piece of wood, and the wood was not a very secure technique to balance it on, because as it turned, the wood would crinkle. And I don't mean last year, a few years back when we did it. Okay, now, the other thing, if I may call Jim's attention, Jim, I'd like to get together with you and go over and check out the generator, perhaps over this weekend, if you've got any time. See that it starts and see the battery is okay, and double up on your generator just in case we need a backup. Will you be available any time over the weekend, Jim?
I won't be available tomorrow until late, and probably not until Saturday until later. But we'll get some way together. I'll give you a call.
Part of the weekend for back here.
I'm sorry, that was a double, and NS2 and K2Z01 indicating that he would only be available late afternoons. But could you repeat your comments, NS2K?
I'm sorry. I would be going out to the boat a good, at least part of the weekend, but I could reserve part of it for here. I haven't checked the weather yet to see what that's going to look like, but mostly I need to do some cleanup, setup, get stuff out there.
I understand. Okay, well then perhaps if it's inconvenient this weekend, perhaps an afternoon coming up early in the week, we can get a couple of the barrel guys to go over, like K2ZO and hands, maybe like on a Tuesday afternoon, a Tuesday after coffee.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it would be smart to double check and make sure everything is functioning. All right, let me see if N2DSY, otherwise known as W2 Tango Tango Tango, are you around? I don't hear anything further from our information net here. Somebody else want to pick it up?
KO2 okay with a comment.
KO2 okay, go ahead.
Jim, NS2K, were you asking about the size of the mast we used up at the contest site?
Yes, Bennett.
I believe Steve said it was not quite 2 inches, so 1 7/8 or something like that. It was smaller than 2 inches.
Okay, then the clamp that I've got was designed for 2. It's not particularly adjustable, so that would be a problem.
Comment, there were several pieces of mast there, so it wasn't just one mast, so I think Jim was going to look at all the masts that are there too. There was a 2-inch one. I wonder if he could just take a muffler clamp from the auto parts store and use that in this application. What do you think, guys?
I think it'd work fine.
Each way I like
those sizes, and they're not very expensive.
K2AMI. The only problem with that is that a muffler clamp does not have a flat surface that's parallel to the or perpendicular to the vertical mast. It would ride on one edge, and I don't know if it would lock up or create a problem. But it'd be nicer to have something completely smooth rather than a muffler clamp, which has a bolt at one end and a piece of steel at the other that's offset.
Well, that's very true, but it's not going to be moved very much. How about a muffler clamp and a thrust bearing?
That's a thrust bearing is what we really need.
I'm back. I'm sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, there might also be a 2-inch pipe in the garage.
Well, what do you need a 2-inch pipe for and how long?
Not evidence down here. Your antenna's too good.
Put your PO receiver.
You asked the question, but what we're interested in doing is supporting on top of a tower that's got a taper to it, a three-element tri-band, you know, the Mosley tri-band. Now, typically, when you do that, if you don't have some way of keeping the mass from flowing down into the tower, we have a problem. Now, we need to get a true measurement of the inside diameter of the top of the tower as it tapers into a torpedo shape, and the true measure of a piece of tubing that we might use to insert that section, and then some way to prevent that whole pipe from dropping down. We could probably get work with like a 6-foot piece of pipe or less. Probably a 4-foot would work, but I'm not sure of the exact dimensions that we require.
What you might want to do is they're usually on those tapered top sections a bolt hole, if you will, with threads to if you will secure a mast that goes through it so as to stop it from rotating. If you're worried about the vertical axis, a 2x4 sitting on the bottom just to hold it in place is fine. If you have the the set screw bolt, if you will, in place. If it doesn't have that, one might consider getting a decent drill bit and, you know, an 18-volt DeWalt or whatever you have handy, and just putting a pin through it and be done with it, right through the side of the tower section and the mast that you use. That reduces your issue to one question, that is, do you have a mast that slides into the collar?
Not sure. We have one that fits to the collar, but we don't know whether it's going to be one of our very good, very expensive aluminum thick wall masts, or something that's a lightweight mast that we could use.
Well, do you know for a fact that it'll accept a 2-inch or a 1.9-inch mast?
No, nobody has an exact measure on that dimension.
Bring your drill.
Go on, man.
Go ahead, Jim. NS2K, KTBAR.
KTBAR, NS2K. Yeah, part of the trick is we want the mast to rotate in the tower, so we want to use an Armstrong rotator with the mast rotating, not pinned to the tower in this case. We merely want it to not slide down. In any case, yeah, I'm pretty sure the snout at the top of the tapered tower will accept a 2-inch, and I have a sneaky feeling that those aluminum pipes are 2-inch, but without actually measuring it, I'm not confident.
Yeah, because Ron did make something that was less than a 2-inch size, just as an FYI.
Well, this is the aluminum stuff, not the Ron.
Jim, that was the stuff you had. Is that universal?
I don't know.
What was that tower you had that was aluminum that was, you know, each section was a little smaller than the next, but it was self-supporting aluminum?
You mean my tower?
Yeah.
That's a Heights.
Heights, that's the company, not Universal, it was Heights, okay. I think that is also Heights, that stuff. Isn't that the one where they had, somewhere the tower had come down rather violently and two sections are nested one inside the other with some bolts, you know, taking care of the fact that they don't screw into each other?
That may have been it, yeah. I think that we may have had two aluminum towers.
Okay. I seem to recall one of them will hold a 2-inch mast, but I'm not real sure. Jim, as far as holding it in place and allowing it to rotate, if you're going to use the Armstrong method, a couple of U-bolts across the rungs of the 2x4, and don't laugh too hard, either a bolt or a couple of nails hammered through it just so that the mast doesn't kick out, it'll be fine.
NRT, will you comment?
Good evening, Jerry.
Hi, if that's the mast and the tower you used on via GEP contest, remember you had it in a the smaller of the high-gain rotors. And I believe that can't take greater than 2 weeks. So there's a good chance that it'll slide into the mast collar and over to T.
Okay. Very fine. One thing I need to come up with is I need to come up with at least one section of row 25 or a similar top section in aluminum myself, either or, for field day. Because I have a stubby top section, one of those 2.5 foot top sections with a thrust bearing in it, but I have no tower to put underneath it, and we want to hold the 6 and 2 year antenna up for field day, and so I am lacking that.
Is that Rhone 25 tower, the standard Rhone 25? Because we have sections in the garage that we probably will not be using for field day, but they're steel sections, they're not aluminum.
Yeah, if it's a Rhone, then one section would be sufficient.
Okay, well maybe we could coordinate loaning you one, but we'd want to return, of course, one of those sections. However, it's a two-man job to get, maybe a four-man job to get the tower sections separated from the pile.
Okay, I'd also need to do it before next weekend, not next Saturday morning, because we're leaving Friday morning to drag stuff up there.
Got a question for you. When is this Nobby Bosco anniversary?
Oh, I'll go find that out for you while you're discussing other things.
W2AKR repeater.
Okay, may I just intersect that I'm not too happy with the idea of using 3 sections of the aluminum tower to raise that mostly tri-bander up. I don't think the aluminum tower will support an elevation and lowering of the tower because it's so heavy. Again, sort of only judgment is not known fact. Anybody have a comment on that?
No problem.
Well, as long as you don't have it on the rotor, if you have it on the rotor, you're above it like you had on field day. You'll have a break the casting.
We don't intend to use a rotor on field day. We're going to use the Armstrong method.
Well, you might consider, if you slid the mast all the way down the tower while you get it up, and then raise the mast up with a come along to the height that you want and put a 2x4 underneath, I bet you that would work. No problem.
We've done that other years, and one year it nearly walked off the 2x4 because it doesn't follow concentric circles. It does get moved back and forth repeatedly during the field day event, and 2x4, whether it's secured correctly or whether the rotator follows a true concentric circle, are two elements that make that questionable. 2x6 would be better, but then you'd have to fashion it to fit in between the tower correctly.
Well, no, but you heard before. You use a ring of nails through the 2x4 or a bolt protruding through that goes inside the mast to keep it from walking. Yeah, that's an old problem, and you can just, you know, as I say, 2 ways to solve it.
Okay, well, that maybe very well be the solution. I think that it's very difficult to find nails and a hammer and a 2x4 at the field day site. They usually don't appear.
Yeah, that's the sort of stuff you got to make in advance and keep it from year to year. But whether it's 2x4 or 2x6, you know, with you both to bolt it to the side of the tower, it should be a hardwood like lignium, but it'll rotate forever. But there's a stunt with the nails or the through bolt, you know, to keep the mast concentric. We've used many times at 1070, you know, for field day. In fact, I even used it for Barra when we had field day over at the college.
We used a 2x4 at the college. At the high school, and had a problem. My memory does not go back to the college with a tri-bender like that. But flying nails, 2x4, and a hammer will have to be designated by the field aid commander here.
Okay. Just to answer Jerry's question, Jerry, if you go to www.nobibosco.org, you will see on the main page a reference to the celebration, but it's on the 28th of July.
Thanks.
And that's a Saturday.
This is NO2T, clear of the frequency, 73 off.
And that's a Saturday.
Okay. Gracias, amigo. NO2T, Gonzo.
Yeah, maybe Tony wants to go too. Alrighty, I'm going to camp the next day, so I have a Doral, so I'm not going to head up to that. In any case, this will be their 81st summer as a Boy Scout camp in every year since 1927. When Tony went, just kidding, Tony.
I think the question was, what year did I go? The one year I go was somewhere around 1944.
Oh, I thought it was 1927.
I was in diapers still in 1931. That's when I arrived.
Yeah, well. yes. Good for you. Good for you. That's awesome. Anyway, in any case, what else? I'll have to get with you before then, or see if anyone else has a run 25 section that I can scoop up. Actually, there's some run 20 that I'm supposed to pick up from George, K2ILH, and I have not done that yet. Given that I'm away tomorrow till Sunday, I don't know if there's time to go fetch it, but that's another possibility. We'll see. In any case, everybody's questions got answers. Are there anything else? I'll just go quickly through the roll call. K2AMI, any comments?
No comments, but just information, and that there is one more kid night up at the Westwood High School next Tuesday, and there'll be one more technical net, I guess, before field day. So keep that in mind. Back to net control.
Okay, very good. No problem. K2ZO, your turn.
Okay, very good. Well, Tony got the word out before I did. I just want to remind everybody that Tuesday is the last kid night. So come on down and then enjoy yourself for summer. Think about your next year's projects. I'm sure we can come up with something, even if we had to take a piece of wood and drill a hole in it, you know, and then bolt it through there to support the thing. But I'll look around the garage here, Tony, and see what I can find. I thought that I had a thrust bearing at one time, but I have no idea what the size of it is, so I'll take a look for it. Okay, back to net. This is K2ZO.
Late check in, KC2QYM. Peter, go ahead. Yes, I was a very late check in. I apologize, gentlemen. I just want to say hello. Tony, K2AMI from KC2QYM, if I could cross communicate. I am planning to be at the field day on a Saturday. Is there anything that I can do in the morning to help? Is the setup actually happening on Saturday? Over.
The setup will be starting sometime around 9 o'clock at the field day site, we'll look slightly later, and there'll be lots of setup that you're going to be helping with. I recommend you bring a pair of gloves and some old clothes that you don't mind working in. We'll be working pretty much on asphalt, and it won't be mud, and if you have any hand tools that's your favorite, you think might be important, mark them appropriately and bring them too.
My business. I'll get all the details of where I have to go and where the location actually is. I don't think I'm going to get lost. I'll probably send you an email, Tony. I just need an address. I can do a map quest.
Very good. Excuse me while I bug out myself.
Okay, no problem. Very good. And see if I can give Peter, I can give you some more information on that in a minute. I'll do that one last during my close. WITW, comments, questions, confusions.
Dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Anyway, that's about it from here. Pete, thanks for the email. Nice to hear your voice. I appreciate that. And I got to get out of here. I got to go go run a little errand further. My missus, 73 guys, WITW. Have a good night.
Very fine. NS2K.
Yeah, K2BAR, NS2K. Not a whole lot to add. I'm sure one way or the other we can support this darn mast. Not too worried about it. If we took a piece of 2x4, yeah, we can do something with it. Put a bolt through, I don't know, I'd probably have some pipe cap that would fit inside, or, you know, we'll do something. And so it won't slide around. In any case, I'm planning on bringing some radio gear, including the, how should I say, heater, so we can at least get a little bit of help out of this thing. Is the antenna itself mostly in good condition? I don't remember what the status of that was at this point. And one more little piece for Tony. We forgot to mention the rotator that we used. We need a new U-bolt. Actually, probably should get two new U-bolts for that rotator. At least one of them was very badly galled to the point we were afraid that the bolt was going to break. Anyway, back to that. Everybody have a great evening, and hope to see you Tuesday and all this good stuff. K2BAR, NS2K.
Okay, very good, Jim. Thank you. Ben, over to you, KF2ID, WZTTT. Get all your questions answered? Okay, I guess he's gone. I know Jerry's gone. Peter, just for your benefit, it's at the Bergen County Community Services Building. That's at the, it's right opposite what was Bergen Pines, now Bergen County, or Bergen Regional Medical Center. That's the other Ridgewood Avenue at the intersection of either Pascack Road or Farview Avenue. Pascack becomes Farview, I think, at that point at the intersection, but I think technically it's Pascack Road and Ridgewood Avenue in Paramus. K2QIM, W2TTT.
Okay, Gordon, I don't think I'll get lost. I think I'll just, you know, get over to Pascack and make a left and go south to Fairview. And then that's the intersection. And what kind of building am I looking for?
It's a brick building, white trim, a couple of stories tall, and there's a bunch of county vehicles and a parking lot behind it. It's on the northeast corner of that intersection. And they set up in a parking lot.
There's a tower next to the building.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Jim. Okay. I'm not going to get lost, guys. I'll be there at 9.
Well, you don't want to go there at 9. You want to be in Dumont about 8:30. And please email Tony, K2AMI, at ARRL.net for directions and the address to where to go, because they're meeting to pull things out of the garage in Dumont at that time. He'd rather not send the address over the air. But there will be talking on 7-9. So if you could email him for the address, he would appreciate that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is there like a truck that we're loading up?
Apparently.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I'm, you know where I am, so I just, you know, hop up the road. I guess I go up Knickerbocker.
There you go. Up and across Madison and follow the directions to wherever it is. I don't know where the garage is myself.
That's not Tony's house, is it?
No, it's a garage we rent, so, and it's right near ML's house.
Okay, Jim, no problem. Thank you. That's good. All right, I'll let you guys go. I'm sorry I checked in late. I was in the midst of something, and then I realized that the net was on.
No problem, Peter. Okay, we got you squared away. And by the way, ML doesn't live in Dumont either, but he lives near Dumont. In any case, 7-3, and have a good one. Any last comments from anybody before I close it out?
Sure he does.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, at this time I would like to thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeater, reminding everyone that the club has nets on Monday night on 28350 upper sideband at 9 o'clock, Tuesday on 443-100 with a 141 PL, that's in Franklin Lakes, and that's run by Monday night, and that is run by our technical maven, Mr. K2ZO. And let's see, Wednesday night we have the 2-meter net on this repeater, run by Ben, KF2ID. And of course, yours truly, such plus or minus theater options, distractions of everyday life, for the technical net, again at 9 o'clock on Thursday. We encourage members to consider joining the Bergen County FM Association, supporting their repeaters. We encourage them to join the NLRL so we can keep 10 meters. And we want to thank everybody for their fine hard work. And for those of you who are paternal type parents, we wish you a happy Father's Day upcoming. And for the rest of us, I guess we'll be just called Happy Mother's Day, even if we've been wished a Happy Father's Day, but we won't go there. On that note, I will bid you good day and adieu. K2